All right, welcome back to the Rivals Podcast. I'm Corey Gibson, that's Adam Gordy and Greg Smith. Today we're going to recap the Rivals Los Angeles camp. I mean, it was our first one of the year. We're back for the 2024 season. That's the first stop, and we had our two analysts out there. I kind of want to start off with probably one of the most loaded groups was the quarterback position. I think we had about, 50 quarterbacks out there. It's always a rich rich part of the country. But I definitely want to talk about Brady Smigel and Ryder Lyons.
There was quantity and quality. So, you know, a lot of quarterbacks wanted to come out. That's good. We're never going to say no. We want to see them all in one setting and in our setting, which we put them through the rigors of what we want to see. And, you know, those were definitely two of the top ones. And it will continue to be a discussion at the top of the 2026 rankings. One, if both of them are five stars, if one is a five star, if neither is a five star yet, and which way they go in terms of the rankings. So right now, Brady Smigel leads the way, but you know, and sophomore season will play a factor here. Ryder Lyons was incredible. You know, put up big numbers in Folsom's offense, which is not a surprise, but also ran for nearly 1,000 yards and 23 touchdowns. Smigel had a little bit less of a completion percentage, but also put up huge numbers in a very pass happy offense. So I think as we move through the 2026 class, this is going to be an ongoing discussion about, you know, this guy looked good here, this guy looked better there, and we'll continue to debate it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, as we talk about, you know, Ryder Lyons being kind of our MVP for quarterbacks out there, right, as he didn't even get to showcase maybe what's the best part of his game or what really makes him so dangerous, and that is that dual threat ability, right? And so to me, that's really impressive. When you go out there and you just only can show that the passing portion of your game and all the various drills, that really stands out to me as something. I'm like, okay, you put a pin in that later when we're kind of talking about the battle between those two to be the top quarterback potentially in that class.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually remember seeing Brady a week before and having told Gorney, I hope he comes to the camp, which he actually did sign up and showed out because he was so impressive at I think it was Legends a week before out here in Southern California and Ryder. But the quarterback position was incredible. I remember TJ Lateef was also a big one. O-line, D-line, obviously it was actually just an all-around great camp, probably one of the best LA camps we've had in a number of years based off of talent all the way through all the grades. But one of the big five stars that did show up was Jordan Davison. I think he had some big news coming out today. I think today's Wednesday. Gorney, what you mentioned something off the camera before we started.
Yeah. So I talked to him Sunday. You know, last week I talked to him and he said Ohio State is his leader now. And I put that out there and that was definitely interesting. And I talked to him Sunday again and he said, yep, Ohio State still looks best. I'm going to visit Colorado and Texas. You know, Georgia's in there, Alabama, maybe a little bit, some other schools will be, you know, sniffing around, but then just a few hours later, 72 hours later, Tony Alford, the coaching carousel will not stop. Ohio State's running backs coach leaves for Michigan of all places. So I get a call that says now Michigan is involved with Jordan Davison, five-star running back, and possibly a visit to Ohio State later this month will now be rejiggered for Ann Arbor. So it will be very interesting to see how this plays out in the coming months, because what I've been told is that Tony Alford was definitely a big reason for Ohio State being up there, but so was the Ohio State running back tradition. Now, Michigan certainly has running back tradition as well, so that'll be interesting to watch. It will also be interesting to see who Ohio State brings in as a running backs coach and how quickly they start targeting Jordan Davison again. So this might be some preliminary reaction, gut reaction off of the Tony Alford news, which is certainly not good for Ohio State, especially if Davison takes that Michigan visit. But we will see who is hired now as the new position coach in something that is continuing to evolve as maybe one of the more interesting recruitments in the 2025 class.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was, as that news was coming out, I was writing my own update about Jordan Davison. I also talked to him on Sunday, and, you know, I got that vibe, too, that Ohio State was sitting in a really good position. You know, he told me about how much he idolized Ezekiel Elliott, and that I thought that running back tradition for Ohio State, plus the relationship with Alford, would be something that put them over the top eventually. But then, as Gordy said, the coaching carousel just will not stop in this year. Like, it just seems like it's never going to end, because every one of these, like, either small or big dominoes that happens causes a whole new ripple effect in the timeline. It's like a Marvel movie with all the stuff going on. So it's just interesting to see that play out. But Davison, I think now, as you start to look at another school too that was involved in that, Texas, they were very involved in that as well. He mentioned them to me too. As you start to look at a school with maybe a little bit more stability, now that Steve Sarkisian kind of has them going in the right direction, or at least we think he does at this point, like, that could be an interesting team to kind of swoop in and make up ground. But the Michigan thing is definitely interesting with the position coach going over there. And like Adam Gurney said, they have their own running back tradition. It's not like, you know, they've had a bunch of slouches come through there at running back either. So it'll be a fascinating recruitment that got even more interesting over the last couple of days.
I do also want to add, at our camp, he also wore Ohio State cleats. So just to keep, I think we actually posted, I don't know if we posted that one. I think I got that one after the camp. But I thought, when you guys were talking about that news, like, on top of everything else, he wore Ohio State cleats right at the Rivals camp. One of the last things I want to talk about was teams to be pleased. It's an article you guys wrote today, that published today. Gordy, I'll start with you. Like, break down some of the teams on the radar.
Yeah, and there are definitely some typical ones in there. I mean, USC is going to be talked well about in Southern California by a lot of prospects, mm-hmm. Especially since the camp was so good. There are a lot of guys we're talking about USC, but let's start with Ryder Lyons. His brother, Walker, is coming back from a mission. He will be at USC. And Ryder was not hiding that is certainly going to play something of a factor there. Helaman Kasuga is another quarterback from Utah. He is the new quarterback at Corner Canyon. So he will put up even bigger numbers this year. He's taking over for Isaac Wilson, who put up huge numbers last year. Cody Green, an offensive lineman from Washington State, who is moving down to modern day, likes Oregon and USC very early. Samu Moala, who is a hard-hitting, bad linebacker in Southern California. And by bad, I mean really good. He played tight end in the camp. he was just messing around there. Talanoa Ely, another kid who is at least looking at USC. I think probably Notre Dame and Ohio State lead there. But there will be many names at USC to watch. The other one that really stood out to me was Utah, which was not usual school to get mentioned by so many names, but I'll say that a lot of the receivers there, whether receivers or tight ends, mentioned Utah. Jaden Robinson likes Utah a lot. I think Texas might lead there. Tavian McNair, a kid who really couldn't get it going at Corona Centennial last year, had some of the best catches at Sunday's camp. That's the kind of kid Utah likes. A little bit under the radar, but super talented. Bear Tenney, a tight end who is now playing in Utah, will visit there this weekend, and it looks like the Utes lead for him if he likes his visit. And then Vander Ploeg, the name of the name of the year in the 2025 recruiting class. This kid is super interesting. He is like a multi-sport athlete, but he's like 6'6", 215, 220. Could certainly add more weight. Very athletic kid. Wanted to show us how he could do a backflip in the end zone. Plays baseball. Apparently throws a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Also plays basketball. Averages about 19 points a game. He was being talked up a lot at the camp. He had his little, gold or brown beanie on, which really made him stand out even more. But he's a very interesting one. Utah and Washington lead there. So those are two teams. Many others. A lot of teams from out of the region come in and kind of pilfer the top talent in the West region. That has been a storyline for at least 5, 6, 7 years now. That will continue to be a trend, but a lot of these schools out West, I want to say Pac-12 teams, but no longer, we'll keep a lot of that talent home as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Two teams that kind of came to mind for me. One that has become, and I wrote this, it felt like it was a blink of an eye, but it really hasn't been. Oregon is a team that continues to come up as someone who's, I guess they've kind of replaced in some ways USC throughout kind of USC's up and down time over these last like 5 or 6 years. Basically that time Gorney said that other teams have started to come in. It's no coincidence that is the time the USC was having a lot of turmoil. And so Oregon is a team that got mentioned a lot this weekend for all the top players, every top player you talk to basically had Oregon on some sort of either, you know, it's their top, one of their top schools, a school that's recruiting them the hardest. So Dan Lanning and his group doing a great job recruiting. We know that they're going kind of coast to coast and recruiting all over. They've been in the South, they've been in the Midwest, but they are still keeping that base of being out West and being able to take some of the best talent out West as well. So I look for that to continue. Another team that is, you know, you talk about Utah as a team that is kind of unconventional in this conversation that is deserving to be in it. Another one, though, is UCLA. Like, now that's a team that it's being nice to say their recruiting has struggled in recent years. Like, it's been worse than that. But I expect that to change if these early trends continue. So many of the kids, especially the younger kids, once you get to 2026 and then beyond that, we're at the camp, we're mentioning UCLA reaching out to them and trying to pick things back up with them. It's not a big secret that UCLA had not done a lot of hard recruiting over the last few years under Chip Kelly. And I think the new coach there is definitely trying to reverse that trend. And I'll be curious to follow that storyline moving forward out West with UCLA and if they can keep on some of these kids as they move throughout the process.
Yeah, you guys talking about these schools, I have to ask one quick question. Do you guys think with the new, with Pac-12 ending and everyone going to the Big 12, Big 10, will that take away from the other teams come dipping into the West and making the more West Coast local teams more popular out here? Because before it was like everyone wanted to go because they wanted to play Ohio State, go play at Ohio State, go play in the SEC. But now that these West Coast teams are actually going to go out there themselves, are they more at play than ever before in the last probably 10 years?
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting thing to watch, and I don't really have an answer right now, but there are two schools of thought. One is exactly what you said, Corey, that everybody wanted to play, you know, in the Big Ten at Ohio State. They wanted to play at Michigan. They wanted to play at Alabama and LSU and all these awesome SEC and Big 12 venues. Well, now they can stay here at these schools and do exactly that. So I think that could be a factor. The other factor, though, is if Washington and Oregon and USC and UCLA go into the Big Ten and start getting walloped by Michigan and Ohio State, right. That becomes a problem. If kids are sitting in Southern California in October and November with their doors open and their air conditioning on and watching their favorite team, USC, freezing their butts off at Minnesota when it's 7 degrees and 30 mile an hour winds, that might not have the best influence on them. So there are different schools of thought on how this is actually going to play out. Now, I know, you know, there was a one five-star quarterback who's already transferred. I won't name names, but when he had heard USC was going to the Big Ten, he was actually disappointed by it because he didn't want to throw in cold weather. And he didn't want to throw in windy conditions. Now, I've said this before, and Greg lives in Omaha, so he knows cold, windy conditions. But when you live out here, like, and you've only known this, it's very hard to adjust to other weather. It's just that everywhere else pretty much sucks. So, you know, it's just going to be one of those things that I think there are definitely going to be some kids that don't care about it. Kingston Viliamu-Asa didn't care if it was going to be cold at Notre Dame. He was going to Notre Dame for a lot more than that. Like, Jordan Davison is not going to be afraid to go to Columbus or to Ann Arbor or to anywhere else and be one of the next best running backs. But there will be some kids, I think, especially at the quarterback position, that give it a second and third look and say, do I want to spend, you know, my entire, you know, college career in the Midwest? Or do I want to stay here maybe now and just kind of dip in there 3 or 4 times a year and then play out here as well? It'll be interesting to see. And I think it's kind of one of those recruiting storylines in an industry where everybody seems to have the answers to everything is something that no one knows until it actually plays out over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating because you're right, it could go a number of ways, but that also makes me think, though, that one of these schools out West that is going into the Big Ten, whether it's USC, UCLA, Washington, or Oregon, one of those schools is going to really improve in this move, right? And maybe it'll be the school that's the least quarterback dependent, right? So if quarterback isn't the position that you're depending on to make the whole thing go, and sorry, looking at you, USC, maybe they're the ones that end up having the struggles, whereas maybe Oregon continues on the rise that they've been on because they want some of those other position groups that are probably more likely to not care about that weather. I think that somebody is going to benefit from it. We just don't know who at this point. And there's always these unintended consequences of these big seismic shifts within the sport. And maybe it's a situation too, where you look at another warm weather state. So maybe you start to look at it like a Texas or someone down that way, because it ends up being a situation where you can still have warm weather, but you're not necessarily, it's not so different from home, and you're not having to come all the way to the Midwest or all the way down south to the far southeast to be able to figure it out. It's going to be really interesting to see, because there are a lot of unknowns, but we do know that there'll be a lot that has to unfold with all of this.
Perfect. Yeah, I didn't mean to derail the Rivals Camp update with our conference reports, but appreciate you guys stepping out here and talking to me about the Rivals Camp. I'm Corey Gibson, Adam Gorney, and Greg Smith. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.